this morning. On that note, and for that purpose, our scripture is Matthew 18:15-20. If you'll find that in your Bible, I think that would benefit you. Also, in your bulletin today, there is a little outline or some notes for you to follow. Matthew 18:15-20 is the scripture.
Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. But if he will not hear, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector. Assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them.
Amen.
Amen.
Father, we look to you and give you thanks, Lord, because you are the wise and holy one. You lead us in the way of holiness and in the way of peace. You tell us in your word that your way, your peace, is perfect. And so, Father, we ask you to teach us today. Help us, Lord, in the midst of our weak and often conflicted lives to walk in the way of peace. We pray for Christ's sake. Amen. So last week, brothers and sisters, we had the same text. We began our consideration of this very important teaching of the Lord Jesus about how we, his sheep, are to resolve the conflicts that arise among our number. And I gave you last week, if you'll remember, some general principles about just by way of introduction. So if you'll just recall that very quickly, we said that conflict is inevitable. Okay, being a Christian does not make you exempt or immune to conflict in your life. We said that Christ's greatest desire for his children, for his little ones, is that they get along, right? That's what he prayed for the night before he went to the cross. So unless we aim for peace, we're not pleasing Christ. Thirdly, unresolved conflict interferes with our worship. Right? Didn't Jesus say that if you have a conflict with your brother, then settle that matter before bringing your gift to the altar? First, go and be reconciled to your brother. Fourth, we said that, thankfully, God has given us instructions. He's given us his way for his sheep to deal with conflict. He's given us a reliable and effective way to deal with conflict. And so if we follow his instructions, we will at least be able to know that we are within his will. Okay, even if the conflict doesn't get resolved, at least we know that we are within his will, and that is the only way to true peace, to know that you are within the will of God. And then fifthly, so now that we have this word here from the Lord in Matthew 18, we can look at conflict from a certain point of view as actually a kind of opportunity to see God's healing and delivering power at work in our own personal lives and our life as a congregation. And that will give us new reasons to praise him. It gives us opportunities to grow in holiness and Christ-likeness. Conflicts give us opportunity even to serve others, especially serve the one with whom you're having a conflict. Okay, so that was last time. Today, if you have a little paper in your bulletin, we're going to look at the what, the why, and the how of conflict. Okay, so if you consider our passage in Matthew today, you can see what it is. It's a how-to, isn't it? All right, it's a what to do. There are steps to do, right? Step one, do this. And then depending on what happens, You know, one way or the other, there's another step. And then what happens with that step? There's another step. Okay? There's a what to do. Whenever there's a what to do, obviously that implies there's also things not to do, right? So, and the reason we keep on dragging our problems and our conflicts around with us all of our lives and our relationships suffer as a result of that is because we usually do the what not to do rather than the what to do. So I think it helps if we take today to identify and label the wrong ways that we tend to react to conflict, and then, you know, maybe you'll be able to recognize and spot them, and then if so, you can change or you can manage our approach to conflict so that we're going to be more successful. Okay, but first, let's just have a definition, if you like, of what conflict is. So that's the first thing on your little paper. This definition comes from a man named Ken Sandy. He says this: conflict is a difference in opinion or purpose that frustrates someone's goals or desires. Okay, a difference in opinion or purpose that frustrates someone's goals or desires. Okay, now if you think about this in cases large and small, this is why you get annoyed with people and with situations, because in some manner you've been frustrated. Okay, you've been hindered or prevented from having something be the way you would like it to be. Like I said, this goes for things small and large, right? Your boss doesn't give you a raise, you're frustrated. Okay, you would like to have a quiet night at home, but the phone rings and rings, the dog next door barks and barks, all right? You're frustrated. Your daughter or wife, you know, just doesn't seem to get it, that money doesn't grow on trees. You're frustrated. Your husband says another insensitive remark about you in front of people. Very frustrating. You have disagreement at work about, you know, how to get a job done. You have an overloaded schedule. Okay, something is frustrating you, okay? Those are, if you like, I don't know if they're small things, but there's, you know, there are bigger scale things. Now, for example, we saw this movie last week. A couple of examples for those of you who saw the film. What's the cause of the dad's terrible attitude in the movie? Okay, what's down at the root of it, right? His problem was he was unable to live out his boyhood dream of playing ball, of playing football, right? Instead of becoming a star, which he always had hoped to be, he's kind of stuck in a, you know, middle of nowhere town, dead end job, all right? You know, the direction he dreamed about going in life never materialized. And so he's angry at the world, he's angry at life, takes it out on his wife, takes it out on the kid. And then as far as the kid, the main character, you see his conflicts in life. And again, they come from frustrated desires or goals. Of course, the big one being, he never had the loving father that, you know, that kids ought to have, right? I mean, people are supposed to have this as a major heart's desire in the child's life. It was denied to him, and that leads to huge amounts of anxiety in his life and difficulty. Then his mother disappears, right? So that's some, you know, a support system that he needed. It was ripped away from him. And as he, you know, gets the band together, they, you know, they're hoping to make a career out of it and get noticed by the record executives, and they trash, you know, that all just comes to a screeching halt. And so, you know, he hollers at them and he quits in frustration. Okay, he's frustrated. He shuts his dad out. He shuts the girlfriend out. And it's because his goals and his desires are thwarted. Okay, and this is, you know, one way or another, in small ways and large, this happens to us all. And what is the response? It's friction, it's anger, and trouble. Okay, and the thing about trouble is it spirals into worse and worse trouble. Okay, all right, well, that's, for what it's worth, it's a definition. Okay, a conflict is a difference in opinion or purpose that frustrates somebody's goals or desires. Okay, from how are you going to decorate the house to much more painful quarrels and fights in life. So that's the what. Now the why. How do conflicts get started? And conflict, you can see, generally can be traced to one of these four causes. The first one, this is something we're all familiar with, it's miscommunication, right? Misunderstanding due to imperfect communication. So this happens a lot. You know, it's not necessarily anybody's ill intent, but you know, things end up going badly for somebody because, oh, I didn't know you meant that. I didn't know you were talking to me. Oh, that was today. I'm sorry. I misunderstood. Well, just the fact that you misunderstood doesn't mean, you know, a disaster didn't happen from it. Yes, it was a mistake, but there's still a big problem. Okay? So miscommunication happens all the time. Secondly, another thing that can cause conflict is differences in values or priorities or expectations or interests or opinions. So, for example, the dad always dreamed that his son would follow in his footsteps and enter the military, okay? But the son wants to open a restaurant, okay? Different goals, right, leads to conflict. I think that society has a vested interest in preserving marriage between one man and one woman. Another person thinks it would be better if everyone had the freedom to do whatever they want with whomever they want, whenever they want. We have different values. A mixed ethnicity church like ours is, right? People come from different backgrounds. People are used to doing things differently, right? It's just different opinions, different styles, different traditions, right? Potential source of friction, okay? A potential source, not necessarily a source, but it's a potential source. Thirdly, there's a whole different category. Competition over something limited. Usually this is time or money, right? You all know money being tight is a huge source of tension and stress in relationships. Money is tight. How could you have gone and bought that when we need that? Okay? You don't spend enough time with your family, all right? You're always late coming home. Okay, but I'm sorry, you know, the boss needs me to work this weekend. I have a responsibility, okay? Those sorts of things. There's tension because not enough of something to go around. And that could be like, you know, you're arguing with your neighbor over where the property line is, all right? That's, you know, there's only so much, that little slice is mine. Can we afford this item in our budget when, you know, really we have other priorities for spending, taxes keep going up, so on. Okay, limited something. And then the fourth way is sinful attitudes or sinful habits that result in sinful words and actions. So things like lust, greed, jealousy, laziness, pride, prejudice, impatience. Okay, sinful attitudes lead to sinful actions. They hurt people and they lead to conflict. Okay, this is about identifying causes. When there is a conflict in my life, first thing for me to do, I think, is get down to the root of the matter and find out what is the central issue here. What's going on? Are we arguing over something limited like time or money? Is it just a misunderstanding? Are we just different people and we need to learn how to fit together? Or is there sin involved that needs to be addressed? Okay, what's at the center? And we have to do that if there's going to be any progress. Now, in any case, regardless of it's a small or big problem, or if, you know, regardless of what the cause of the conflict is, the important thing is how we respond. Okay, so this is the little diagram here on your paper. The Lord says offenses will come, right? Offenses will, you cannot possibly get through life avoiding them all. He said, in this world, you will have trouble, right? Man is born to trouble as surely as the sparks fly upward, right? What the Lord is looking for in us, his little ones, is how are we going to act? How are we going to react when troubles do come? Okay? Belonging to the Lord means we start to do things his way. It means that we leave behind wrong ways or old ways or carnal ways of doing things. We choose to stop doing things that way. The Lord said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Okay, when you stand before the Lord, when you stand before the judge to receive for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad, there's going to be no time to explain yourself. Your life will have spoken for itself. How did I actually act in that situation that befell me, in that conflict? Okay, was it in keeping with the nature of a child of God, right? Peacemakers will be called children of God. Well, are you begotten of God? How can you tell? Well, because I behave like a child of God, okay? So have a look at this little diagram. If it's possible, some of you have seen this before. I didn't make this up, all right? This came from a ministry. It's very, very helpful, and a lot of people have found this to be an effective little diagram. First place I saw it is in a book called The Peacemaker, which I'm willing to give to anybody who's interested. But what it is, it's an arrangement of the different ways that people respond to conflict. So if you look on the left side of the semicircle there contains escape-type responses. Okay, these are problem avoidance responses. So I may choose to just, I'm just going to ignore this problem. Okay, so you see the third one from the end says denial. All right, denial means, you know, just let it slide, don't do anything, pretend there's not a problem, and hope it will go away. Okay, I'm sure you know this from your life experience. You know, you try to say something, you know, honey, is something the matter today? You know, you don't seem, no, there's no problem, I'm fine, it's fine. You know, I just don't want to talk about it. Okay, sometimes people whitewash a problem and, you know, just kind of hide it and, you know, put on their poker face, put on their happy face, and just pretend everything's okay when you know that it really isn't. Okay, what's the matter? You know, person comes in looking terrible. You say, what's the matter? Nothing. Okay, that's denial. A more serious form of that escape response then is the next one down, which says flight. Okay, or withdrawal. Okay, run away from the problem. So rather than get into another argument over money with his wife, the man leaves home and goes down to the pool hall or goes to the bar or goes fishing. Okay, we're not going to talk about this. I'm going to run away. He stays late at work. Okay, the wife, rather than, you know, talk about this again, withdraws to her, you know, her romance novel or the mall or the movies or the shopping. Okay, whatever it is, the gym, just anywhere but here. Leaves the house. Okay, I'm just going to run away. The kids, they become reclusive, they plug in the ears, they go hole up in their room, you don't see them, they stay in the basement, okay, and they will take refuge in something that soothes their pain. We're not going to talk about it, but I'm going to find some kind of satisfaction in entertainment or music or maybe drugs or maybe even the thrill of some petty crime, okay, something to, you know, other than confronting the issue, okay? And then some people, of course, just up and leave their families, all right? This has happened to some of you. You know, people leave their families, leave their church, leave the fellowship, and just sort of pack everything up and disappear. It happened in the movie, right? The kid gets home from camp, the moving van is there to take his mother away, okay? And the most extreme form of the escape responses then is suicide, the most extreme form, okay? When life is just far too hard, the conflict is intractable or seems so, there's so much pain, and the only way, sorry to say, some people think that the only way to find peace, is just to end their life, you know, escape the world altogether. It's a defense mechanism, okay? It is a way to stop the pain. Okay, you're not going to hurt me anymore. I'm going to take myself away from you so that you can't hurt me anymore. And they think it will end the pain, but it doesn't end the pain. It leads to more pain. Just so you know, the statistics from the government say that suicide now is the second leading cause of death from people from ages 10 to 34. Second leading. You know, more than car accidents, more than murder. There were twice as many suicides as murders in the U.S. I think the year was 2016. Twice as many suicides And I think it's the fourth leading cause, the next age group up, 35 to 54. Okay? Suicide. Unfortunately, the escape route that many people choose to, rather than to deal with their conflict, because the conflict is so painful. So you see, as you go on the little circle, as you go farther to the left, you progress towards more drastic escape-type responses. But what they have in common is the desire to avoid conflict rather than to resolve it. And it's you put on the appearance of peace, right? You say, is everything okay? They say, it's okay. It appears like peace rather than true peace. Okay. Well, if we never talk to each other again, at least there's peace. But it isn't a real peace, is it? Okay, so this side of the circle might be called peace faking. Okay, but Jesus didn't say, blessed are the peace fakers. Blessed are the peacemakers. Okay, so these are wrong responses. And then on the other side of the circle in the blue there, you see the there are aggressive responses or attack-type responses. Okay, and again, it ranges from milder to more aggressive. Less pressure to more pressure. So the first one says assault, but the author meant it includes verbal attacks. So you manipulate somebody, you know, you apply, you know, honey, if you really loved me, you would give in to me. Okay, applying pressure that way. Name calling, threatening, bullying, shouting somebody down with your words. Okay, you know, the shut up, you're worthless, that kind of thing, applying pressure. You know, if you don't do it my way, you'll never see another penny from me. Okay, it's verbal aggression. Then, of course, there's physical violence, physical aggression. You know, you start throwing things, you put your hands on people, hitting people, abusing people. And also, theft, I think, fits in here. You know, I'm going to solve this problem once and for all by just, I'm just going to take what I want. And then the next one you see says litigation or lawsuits, all right? This is getting the authorities involved. It's getting outside forces involved to force somebody, compel somebody to do what I want them to do. And you can do that, okay? You can get the law involved and get a judge involved, and you can force somebody to do what you want, but you haven't really made peace, have you? You've actually hurt the relationship. You have a more broken relationship. And then the most violent one, of course, there is murder. Right? We're going to end this problem once and for all, not by taking my life, but by taking your life. Okay, what these side, the right-hand side, has in common is the desire to win. All right, not to make peace, but to get what I want. That's more important than preserving the relationship. I am going to win this. So I don't care about fair and square. I don't care about right and wrong. I don't care about your feelings. I will win this. And if I have to apply pressure or even force, okay, well, so this side of the arc could be called peace breaking. Peace breaking, right? Jesus didn't say, blessed are the peace breakers. Didn't say, blessed are the peace fakers. Blessed are the peacemakers. Okay, there's only one way to God's blessing when it comes to handling conflict, right? Blessed are the peacemakers. So that's what he has here on the top of the circle, the peacemaking responses. Then you'll see where it says the slippery slope. The reason he says it's a slippery slope is because matters always go from bad to worse if you don't do anything about them, okay? If you don't deal with your problem according to God's will, right? Like you have to try to, you know, stay here on top of the hill. Imagine if this hill is like covered in butter, you know, and you just slip and slide. You're gonna go down one side or the other. And it's easy to slide into one of the wrong responses if you don't consciously work to keep your actions and your attitude within the will of God, okay? You're just going to tumble down one side or the other. So on the left side, you know, you have a victim. The victim becomes more and more of a victim until they do something regrettable, okay? Or maybe eternally regrettable, okay? The problem just, you know, keep sweeping that problem under the rug. Keep putting on a happy face when you're not happy. Keep just pretending the problem doesn't exist. Something is going to give sooner or later. Or on the other side, you know, if your way of dealing with problems is to force the issue, you do what I said or else. Okay, again, sooner or later something has to give. Right? all you do is dominate the other person or you oppress the other person into doing what you want, whether or not it actually comes down to murder in the end, you're a murderer at heart. That's what the Bible says, isn't it? Okay, you know, says 1 John, you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. Okay, let us not be like Cain, says John, who hated his brother. Okay, so slip down one side or the other, what do you get? You get a false peace. You get a false peace. But it's slippery, right? They're easier, right? The natural man prefers to slip down one side or the other of the slope because it's easier than trying to struggle and hold your ground on top, right? The false peace is easier than the true peace that God delights in, okay? Peacemaking, friends, is work, and it can be tiresome work, okay? False peace is the path of less resistance. So this is the devil's big lie. And this is how he undoes many Christians and ruins their testimony by saying, look, if you just do whatever comes easiest, okay, if you lean on your own understanding, it'll be okay. Things will turn out all right, okay? Either you'll win or people won't bring it up anymore, okay? It is really saying peace, peace, when there is no peace, okay? It's a false peace. All right, so really that's as far as I want to go with the diagram today. I'm going to save the top part of it for next time, but the thing for us to do is at least to be able to recognize and identify our own personal tendencies when it comes to frustrations, disagreements, and conflicts. You know, I think generally, as far as myself, I feel like I'm the kind of the person on the left. You know, I kind of would prefer to just ignore problems. You know, maybe if I just drag my feet on this for a couple of weeks, it'll go away by itself. Maybe somebody will forget about it. This is too awkward to want to talk about right now. So maybe it's just better to say nothing. I don't know if the time's right. You know, I'm afraid if I say something, the person will get mad. And, you know, isn't it better to not stir the pot and just keep, okay? I think generally that's how I am. Or, you know, of course, you could be the person on the other side, you know, bossy, aggressive, quick-tempered, headstrong, indignant, okay? Maybe you're one of those. And you can actually be both types. You can be one way with one person and the other way. For example, this is a reason a lot of bullying happens, right? The kid takes it on the chin at home all the time. He's got a overbearing, dominating father, so he takes that to school. He's submissive to his father. He takes that to school and turns it around on another kid. A man is henpecked at home, so he goes and takes it out on a secretary at work. Or, I'm going to prove I am the boss, at least of somebody. Or it could be the other way around, right? I'm a wimp to my boss, but I go home and I holler at my wife. Okay, I'm the victim of prejudice, so I'm going to go show you what it's like to how it feels. Okay, you can be both, but you do have to examine yourself. Maybe it varies from a relationship to relationship in your life. Okay, some things you just want to cover up and you don't want to face them. Sometimes you're going to win. Okay, I'm going to show this person that I will dominate them. A certain amount, as what I'm saying, a certain amount of holy self-examination is necessary in the light of the scriptures and with the support and in the society of Christian fellowship. Okay, this is why we have been made members of a body, so that we have this support system to help one another along. We have to remember that the devil is operating. Okay, he wants to destroy you and the other person. He wants to destroy you both. And he really would like to put you on the sideline and keep you from being effective in the Christian life. Okay, tangle you up in something like this, you will not live your life effectively for God. So if we're going to avoid the devil's snare, that requires alertness to his schemes. It requires a healthy amount of self-knowledge, right? Self-evaluation, where am I on this scale here? And it requires a knowledge of the truth that is in Christ Jesus, the truth of the gospel. Okay, so we need the wisdom and the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. You cannot successfully see your way clear to navigate through a conflict without the illumination and the power of God's Holy Spirit. You can't live well without it. Okay, only one way to receive that illumination and power, and that is to turn your life over to Jesus Christ and make Him your master, Him your Lord and your Savior. Tell Him, show me my heart, show me my relationships, teach me, save me from these troubles, save me out of the snare of the devil, lead me. Okay, you say, love my enemy. How? What am I supposed to do when someone keeps treating me like this and treating me like this? What am I supposed to do? Shouldn't I run? Shouldn't I fight back? What should I do? People say peace, peace, but there is no peace. Okay, like I said earlier, the longing of your heart, is it not? Whether you're a Christian or not, isn't the longing of your heart to have peace, to have peace within yourself? I think people want that more than they want anything else out of life. They want to have peace within themselves. But peace is a three-dimensional thing. You have to have peace with God. You have to have peace with others. You have to have peace within yourself. But what you find out is that people want the peace within themselves, and they don't care about the peace with God and the peace with others. Yeah, I just want peace within myself. But God has designed his creation so that it doesn't work on just the one dimension. All three are required. You must be at peace with God and at peace with others if you're going to have peace within yourself. You have to be, therefore, reconciled to God through the cross of Jesus Christ. Otherwise, you don't have peace with God. And you have to be actively pursuing peace with all. Like we said last week, pursue peace with all. Okay, peace is a gift of God. He gives it to those who obey his commandments. He says in 1 John, he gives it to those who believe in his son Jesus Christ and obey his commandment. And what's the commandment? That we love one another. Okay, that's his commandment. Okay, if we believe in Christ, we have peace with God. If we trust in him. If we love one another, we have peace with each other. Then you have perfect peace. The peace that passes understanding. Right? Isaiah 32:17. Okay, I didn't put it on your paper, but if you want to write it down, Isaiah 32:17 says that peace is the fruit of righteousness. Okay? The fruit of righteousness will be peace, and its effect is quietness and confidence forever. Okay, so you see Paul say, those two women in Philippians, Euodia and Syntyche, I plead with you, be of one mind together in the Lord. I plead with you, rejoice in the Lord always. Okay? And then the peace of God, which passes understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. All right, well, that's enough for today. Look, next time, bring this back if you remember. Stick it in your Bible or something. Okay, next time we're going to look at the top of the hill here, and we will investigate the steps that our Lord here gave us in the scripture for making peace. But until then, there is something that you can do, and that is pray for one another. Pray for our church. And the conflict, of course, there's probably more than one because it's life. The conflicts that you're in, pray for your adversary. Okay? And look at yourself here in the mirror of this little diagram, in the mirror of the Word of God. Ask yourself, why is this conflict happening? Okay, what is the central issue? Is it, you know, which one of these four things is going on here? And am I responding to it in the way that God would have me to do? Am I running away from it? Is he going to be pleased when I meet him, when I go see him? Is he going to be pleased with the way that I handled this? Okay, am I faking peace? Am I breaking peace? Or am I really trying to make peace? Right? You know how Jesus wept over Jerusalem and said, if only you had known on this your day the things that would make for your peace. Okay, but they did not know. So the Lord is trying to help us through the material here, through this passage of Scripture, Know the things that will lead you in the way of peace and follow them. Okay, so this week, pray a lot. Pray for one another. Pray that we would be protected from the devil's schemes. Pray for the conflicts that you're in. Pray for your adversaries. Bring those conflicts to the Lord and consider how you can help another person bear their burdens. Okay, maybe you can bring your conflict to another Christian and receive some help and receive some support. That's what the church is here for, by the way. It's to help each other on to the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ. Okay, help one another stay here on top of the mountain and have victory in the Lord Jesus. All right, we'll pray. Our Lord God and our Heavenly Father, you are the great peacemaker. Lord, you have looked down upon a rebellious and stiff-necked world and chosen not to let us drift off into the darkness. You have sent a peacemaker, your Son, into the world to span the bridge, to call us back to yourself, Lord, to put aside our sins and to reconcile us, Lord. And now as your ambassadors, ministers of the ministry of reconciliation, may we first have peace within ourselves, with you and with our brothers and sisters, and then call more people out of a lost and broken and conflicted world into the perfect peace that comes through Jesus Christ and through him alone. And Lord Jesus, we exalt your name forever and ever. We worship you. We thank you. We ask for your strength this week. We pray in your name. Amen. Amen.